welcome to the AVOD. I'm Cam Vargelon.
I'm DM.
And today, a special Canada Day reunion episode. Which, okay, that doesn't sound...
That doesn't really make a lot of sense.
No, but when people see the movies we're covering, I think they'll be able to follow our logic.
I guess.
Well, I hope. Obviously, there have been issues with following our logic in the past, so I'm not going to say that that's a guaranteed outcome. But yes, we have a reunion to go to this week, and it's Canada Day, because people who organize reunions are apparently crazy.
Well, okay, there was a voting process, and I think everyone who voted still lives in Ottawa, so it's not a big deal for them to travel anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, at the long weekend, which, by the way, is Canada's 150th birthday.
Yeah, it's kind of a huge deal for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, I gotta say, I get that logic, but at the same time, I just don't understand why anyone would be like, hey, you know, the literally the busiest weekend of the entire year in the nation's capital? Let's have a reunion then.
Yeah.
You know, the weekend where they're literally shutting down the entire downtown of the city. Let's have a reunion then. Yeah.
Let's impose upon all of our classmates who have to travel from afar.
I know.
On a very busy, very expensive weekend.
I know. It's the ridiculous. Oh, the place where you can't get a hotel for like, you haven't been able to get a hotel for like 6 months in advance. They booked all of them. Yeah, that's the weekend we want you to come down. I mean, yeah. The thing is, I am just, I'm not angry for myself. I live literally 2 minutes away from the place where they happen to be doing the party. I lucked out on that front. But I do not feel great for all of the people who are forced into this, because it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, enough complaining about our personal lives. Don't know how I went down that rabbit hole. Seriously though, we did want to celebrate both reunions and Canada Day in a baffling twofer. So that's what we're doing. We watched a reunion horror movie and we watched a Canada horror movie. Yep. And hey, I assumed that there were more reunion horror movies than there apparently are. It seems like there really aren't that many.
Well, because we just recently watched a reunion horror movie.
Yeah.
So that kind of made
boxed
things
us in. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. But there are reunion horror movies out there. I don't think we picked the best one.
I can say to a relative certainty, to a high degree of certainty, that we did not pick the best one. But you know what? We'll get there. First, we have a bunch of random crap to cover.
Yes. I get, as always, we start with video games.
Damn right. So I was playing this video game, brand new video game called Get Even, which is not a fantastic title, but you know what? I'm not here to talk about the title, except for that second one I just did. I have a question for you, and
okay,
this is about, I guess, symbology in video game design, and really beyond video game design, all fiction.
Hold on. Symbolism.
No, I wanted to say symbology because I was trying to make fun of Dan Brown.
Okay, but symbology is something very different from
I know, symbolism. But he's terrible. Anyway, but the point is, so I was, and weirdly, it's not even technically symbolism. It's what environments you use communicate to the audience. So it's actually closer to, anyway, you know what? I'll get to my point, interruption aside. So it raised this question for me. This thing was billed not just as an action game, which, you know, it's all well and good, because it's a shooter whose big hook is you have one of those corner firing guns.
So like it fires around a corner?
Yeah, you can shoot around corners.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if you've seen these things. They are weird guns. Basically, they take a pistol and they slap the pistol at the end of this machine that you could turn 90 degrees left or right. And then some wires go back to the place where you hold it. And there's a little LCD screen and you pull the trigger and then a machine pulls the trigger on the pistol.
Oh, okay. Like that barrel doesn't make a 90-degree
No.
turn because that
Actually, they made that gun back in World War II and it does work.
Really?
Yeah.
I find that so hard to believe.
Yeah, as long as it's a curve and not a sharp turn, it works fine.
Okay. No, I'm picturing a
Yeah.
sharp 90-degree
No.
angle turn.
It rolls at a normal, slide kind of turn, and it actually works perfectly well. But anyway, the point is, so this gun, it turns around corners, and that's the whole basis. So you can look around corners, you can duck behind cover and send it over cover. It's a cute mechanic, but that's not what I'm here to talk about. What I'm here to talk about is the fact that the game was also billed as a horror game. And the premise of the game is it opens with this attempt to rescue this lady that goes horribly awry and everybody gets blown up. And suddenly you're being taken on a trip through your own memories by guys who have you like your brain in a jar somewhere.
Okay.
At least I think that's what's going on. It's kind of hard to tell because you seem to be walking around an asylum with a VR headset on your head, but that might just be another layer of the con that's happening, which raises the question. Now, nothing about this game to me says this is a horror game, but it was billed partially as horror, and I'm going to ask the question. Did it get billed entire as horror pretty much entirely because it is set in a haunted asylum? Well, not haunted, just a dilapidated, rundown asylum. And
Oh.
that leads to the bigger question: is it possible to make something that isn't horror that is set in a dilapidated asylum? Or will solely setting something in a dilapidated asylum always tilt stuff pretty far towards horror?
No, I don't. I think you can set a story in an old asylum without it being horror. It just depends on the story that you're telling.
You say that, but I don't know that I've ever seen anyone try, and I
Oh,
don't know if it would
I'm
be
not saying it's
possible.
been done. I think it's possible. I think you can set a farce, a tawdry bedroom farce in an old asylum. I think you could do that.
You might be able to. I question whether you could do a
I don't
tawdry
know why you
bedroom
would
farce.
want to, but I think you could do
What
it.
I think what you're trying to say is you definitely shouldn't. You definitely shouldn't do that, but you might be able to pull it off. Well, no, and the reason I question it is, as I'm playing this game, there's nothing like I'm getting this horror vibe entirely from the location, not from any of the specific actions that are happening. There are guys locked up in an asylum, and it's just very creepy looking, but it's just a guy having this experiment done on him. And there's no evil clowns, there's no slasher running around the halls, there's nothing like that. But just the fact that it's set in this creepy, dilapidated asylum makes me right away understand why it was classified as horror and agree with the horror classification. So,
But the weird experiments aren't enough to make it horror. Like, there has to be something else related to the asylum.
I think so. Well, because, like I said, it's not horrific experiments. It's like literally they've just got you in a thing and they're taking you on a tour through your memories to try and find out something. I'm not that far into the game. I can't tell you what they're trying to find out, but I mean, it's probably not good. I guess just the fact that you're right that doing experiments on someone in a haunted asylum kind of just says horror, whatever the nature of those experiments are. Like, again, unless the experiment is which ice cream tastes best, it's gonna be a horrific situation if you're in a haunted asylum. Although, now maybe that's the setup for our bedroom farce.
Ice cream tastes
It's
best.
a bunch of people there to test ice cream, and then, body happenings ensue for some reason.
It set in an asylum?
Because that they happen to the company that makes the ice cream happens to own an asylum. And they're not getting any, they only get tax benefit for that if they use it for business purposes. We pitch a lot of bad movies here in the AVOD,
Maybe
but
one of the worst.
this probably isn't the worst one we've pitched though.
Don't think so?
Okay, it is the worst, yeah.
It's not good.
No, it's not good.
Not
It's a terrible idea. But then again, I think you might be forgetting 1 Minute to Bigfoot.
like the idea of an ice cream taste test, don't get me wrong.
Who doesn't? That is, again, a very resonant premise to build a film around, ice cream taste testing. I think that hooks people right away.
We also already know which ice cream tastes best. It's mint chocolate chip.
No, that's true. I mean, I think everyone just knows that already.
Yeah, so unless you're testing a bunch of different
kinds of mint chocolate chip.
Exactly.
Actually, in fact, and right away you'd get all these people on board who are sick of the world pretending mint chocolate chip isn't the best ice cream, because this movie would admit right from like minute one. Yeah, now obviously mint chocolate chip is the best, but which mint chocolate chip?
Yeah, right. And none of this like mint chocolate swirl bullshit.
Oh no, that's crap.
It's mint ice cream with chocolate chips in it.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, do you want like the Breyers like neon green ice cream, or do you want the fancy Häagen-Dazs where it just looks like vanilla because they didn't throw in food coloring, because they trust you, the audience, to understand that it's mint by tasting it, not by seeing that it's green.
Yeah.
So like there's actually a
lot of
room.
I think we're on something here.
A film for only people who love mint chocolate chip ice cream, which luckily is a movie for everyone.
What? Absolutely.
All right. So moving on. I understand you found a list.
I did. In celebration of Canada's 150th, I have a list for us to peruse. It is 15 must-see Canadian horror films.
So what you're saying is these are essential Canadian horror films.
Well, I guess that's what the list is trying to say.
Well, that's a bold pronouncement. I look forward to disproving its claim.
Okay. So because it's not a countdown list or
alphabetical
list, as we more often encounter, because people don't know how to make a goddamn list. This is just a list.
Okay.
It's not enumerated. It's
not alphabetical. It's not by date.
Well, yeah, it's just 15 movies.
All right, hit me.
Okay. Mama.
Which one is Mama? Oh, wait, do you mean the movie Mama? That we covered on the show about the little girls in the woods?
I insist that I've never seen. And you tell me that I have.
We're not having this conversation again. Because I already did a video about how you tried to gaslight me into thinking I hadn't seen it. And then you could actually listen in that video to the audio of you providing a synopsis of the movie you just watched before we proceed to review it on the AVOD.
I don't remember.
But the crazy part is you even refused to watch the gaslighting video, which would have proved you were wrong in like 8 seconds.
Anyway, that movie is on this list.
It doesn't belong there, but you know what? You can listen to our review of it on the AVOD to find out why. Wow.
All right, next. Splice.
You know what? We covered it here. I didn't hate Splice. I don't think it's one of his, like, one of the best movies, but I liked it. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in it. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense in it, and you have characters doing just baffling things. But, you know, again, if you are defined as a character by your terrible, terrible issues with motherhood, maybe don't genetically engineer a monster. Like, if the only thing we know about your character is that you really don't want kids, maybe don't genetically engineer a monster. Seems like that would be a solution to like a lot of your problems.
All right, next up, I didn't know this actually counted as a Canadian movie. Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
How is that a Canadian movie? Really?
I know, it says here a Canadian-American co-production.
It's not, I mean, I'm sorry, are we adding American movies filmed in Canada to Canadian movies now? Although, then again, I don't think Mama was set in Canada either, so...
Well, it says here, this is a Mama's a Canadian-Spanish co-production.
Yeah, no. But, okay, I guess I can see that.
By Guillermo del Toro.
He produced it. He didn't make it.
Okay, well, it says by...
Also, isn't he Mexican? Now I'm really confused.
Anyway...
Okay, keep going.
Dale versus Evil, they count it as a Canadian horror film... I don't, I mean...
It's a stretch.
It might satisfy the requirements,
For
but I don't
Canadian
think.
content CRTC justification, but unless you tell me it was a Canadian writer and director, the fact that it stars Americans and is set in America, to me, I'm less likely to call it a Canadian film.
Yeah. I mean, not that I don't love that movie. It's
It's a
amazing.
great
Everybody should
movie.
watch it,
It
but.
has it is a perfect movie except for the last 10 seconds.
Right.
Like, it ruins it in the last 10 seconds, but stop 10 seconds before the end. You got an amazing movie.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, next. All right, here we go. Screamers,
Okay.
which periodically comes up on the
We
AVOD
do
because
talk about it a lot.
Rob talked about Screamers.
It's a pretty fun movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great.
No,
It's
it's not
Canadian
great.
sci-fi. I mean, that's really all you need to
It's
know.
Canadian sci-fi. It's based on an extremely like obscure Philip K. Dick short story, you know. And I mean, I just like that it's here's how old Screamers is. It was made when the general idea of who Philip K. Dick was that he was the guy responsible, oh, you know, the guy responsible for Blade Runner and Total Recall, kind of. And then it's like now, in the past 20 years, I think the public at large has gotten a much better sense of Philip K. Dick, visionary, psychedelic, mind trip, sci-fi author, in a way that they did not have in the past when they were just like, oh, right, Hollywood adapted a bunch of his movies. He's a sci-fi guy, right? And that's all they kind of knew. And this film does nothing to disabuse people of that notion.
Yeah, it's from 1995.
So there you go.
So, I don't, whatever.
And the centerpiece of one of the most egregious lawsuits in film history. But you know what? You can look that up for yourself. I've already told that story on the show. Oh, because it's an amazing story.
Oh my God. Okay, so up next, Shivers.
What did the hell is Oh, Shivers, the Cronenberg,
Shivers,
of course. Yeah.
Cronenberg movie.
No, yeah,
Yeah.
I love Shivers. Shivers is the one I'm thinking about, right? Sex Parasites?
Yes.
Yeah, no, Sex Parasites is great. Really love that one. It might be my favorite of early period David Cronenberg that isn't Scanners. Obviously, I put Scanners first. Come on. But no, I think I might prefer that to everything but Scanners. Like, I think I prefer that to Videodrome or The Brood.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I know. I'm
okay.
weird. I really thought Shivers was a good movie.
Oh, okay. All right. Next up, American Mary,
I
which I quite liked.
still haven't seen American Mary, but you really liked it, so.
I wasn't expecting to. I was prepared to really hate the movie.
Well, yeah, because their online presence is really obnoxious.
I guess part of what sort of, or maybe the reason why I kind of turned the corner on the film before I'd even actually seen it was that the Saska twins came down the line in the pouring rain and thanked every single person waiting in line for seeing their movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, that's fine then.
Like, yeah.
I
And but I did really like the movie, so
No, but it's just
don't
funny
hate it.
how like you get this impression of people from their interviews and their online presence as being super obnoxious. Then you have one in-person meeting with them and you're like, "Ah, they seem fine." I
Yeah,
don't know
yeah.
what I was thinking. I guess maybe the lesson here is don't trust social media. Which I don't know
Okay.
why we need to learn that lesson.
It bears repeating
It really
time and
does. No,
again.
it
Yeah.
does. Don't trust social media people. All right, let's move on to
Oh, okay. We're gonna disagree on this one.
probably.
End of the line.
Oh, God!
I don't think it belongs on this
No,
list.
of
I
course.
like this movie, but it's not essential viewing.
No, and I hated this movie.
So I'm willing to admit that this movie does not belong on a
Okay,
list of
good.
like
Best.
best Canadian horror films or whatever.
Oh my God. Yeah, that is a garbage movie. I remember you, I remember why you liked it. I disagreed on every point you made. But yeah, no, I hated that thing. Oh, wow. End of the Really? You couldn't
Yeah.
find 15 better movies than End of the Line. Even you have to admit that that's crazy.
One better movie than End of the
No, but I'm
Line.
just saying, enough to kick it off the list. But you're right. I guess
Right.
you only would have had to find one more one. Logically.
Yeah.
I do think there are easy to find. And we've for this list.
I've already previewed this list. We've mentioned films already.
That's true. That
don't appear on this list.
That so. Are obviously better than
better
End of the
than
Line.
End of the Line.
Yeah, that is a weird thing to show up there. Although I don't know who made this list. They might be friends with the people who made End of the Line.
Possible.
And you know what? I'm fine with a little patronage every now and then, as long as it doesn't adversely affect, you know, anything meaningful. That's right. Internet lists aren't meaningful. Shots fired.
All right, next.
Go.
Fido.
You know, I don't much
I never
like
saw it.
I saw it. I didn't much like it, but you know, I accept that Fido's a movie that people like. And I get why it would belong on a list. It has Henry Cherney in it, you know? Like I like Henry Cherney.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't much like the movie. I mean, I'll say it. I did not much like the movie.
That's,
Fido.
You're That's fine. Me. You don't have to like it. It's fine.
But and I don't think it's essential. Although I know it has its fans, and I understand how it got on the list.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're both going to agree on this next one.
Okay.
Pontypool.
Oh, of course. God.
Yeah.
If you were making a non Cronenberg list of best Canadian horror, that would be like if they were enumerate this, put this in the top five. It's a great movie.
Yes.
You know, and agreed. Again, great movie, fantastic performance.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, he's already one of my favorite character actors, but wow, is he amazing in this thing.
Mm.
Yeah, no, everybody, if you haven't seen Pontypool, unqualified recommendation, go see Pontypool.
Absolutely. Okay. Oh, I don't know how. All right, next. Gingersnaps.
Had you said Gingersnaps the remake in Colonial Times, I would have said it belonged on this list.
Oh, you don't like the
I don't
first
like
one?
The first one. I think it is just a mess of ridiculous cliches, not very well done.
Mm-hmm.
But when for some reason when they moved that to Colonial Times and made the exact same movie with the exact same actors, but they set it in Colonial Times and used natural lighting all the time, for some reason that blew me away. And I don't know why, because I criticized a lot of other people for being tricked into liking the Vavitch because they use natural lighting. And I'm like, yet I was taken in by that by myself with Gingersnaps 3, which also did that exact same trick. But I think I would have to get into a cinematographic breakdown of the two movies to explain why I was taken by it once, but not the second time. But I was definitely blown away by how good Gingersnaps 3 looked, and I wasn't impressed by The Witch at all. So, anyway, Gingersnaps, you add a 3 to the end of that recommendation, I'd put it on the list. You leave it as it is, meh.
I like Gingersnaps.
I know.
I think it's okay.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next.
Go.
And, oh, no, not the last one. Okay. Because there's no, they aren't enumerated.
At
I don't know how deep into this list we are. Okay. Anyway, next up is Scanners.
See?
Yeah, right?
Scanners! Like, you can't make this list. You can't make a Canadian horror list without Scanners. Just an amazing movie from beginning to end.
Yes. Ugh,
from its great shock to its wonderful ending to one of the fantastic early Michael Ironside performances. Just everything about Scanners is amazing.
Yeah.
No.
Great movie.
Again, it's one of those things that really lives up to the hype. So if you haven't seen Scanners, absolutely see Scanners.
And has one of the best follow-up joke moments. It was years later, and it's from a television show nobody ever watched.
Yeah.
But there's a really funny joke in an episode of The Newsroom.
Yep.
With David Cronenberg talking about Scanners.
And the thing is, it's amazing. Like, it might be worth watching The Newsroom just to see this scene. If you just want to watch one, it's in the nuclear, the first part of the nuclear disaster two-parter. And it's amazing. And that's all I'm going to say. Oh, hey, I found out last week, just related to that, they tried to make an American The Newsroom in 2002.
Yeah, that's old news. They actually did. It was on TV for a couple of seasons.
No.
You didn't know that?
No, you're thinking of something else.
Are you sure?
Well, if you're thinking of the Aaron Sorkin show, The Newsroom, it has no relation to the TV show, The Newsroom.
That is exactly what I'm thinking
okay.
of.
Okay, you're wrong. It has nothing to do with The Newsroom. No, Ken Finkelman did a version of it called the Untitled Ken Finkelman Project. I don't know why it wasn't just called The Newsroom again. In 2002, that was a remake that would have starred Stephen Colbert.
Oh.
Yeah. I found out about this for the first time because blanking on who. Somebody was on Stephen Colbert who had been in it with him. Mm-hmm. And they brought a clip. They decided to dig out a clip of the pilot, the failed pilot they had done together. And he was playing the Finkelman part in a remake of The Newsroom.
Okay.
And I'm like, I would have watched the hell out of that. And he's such good casting for that. But yeah, it never went anywhere. But he specifically, Aaron Sorkin desperately wanted to call his show The Newsroom. So he went to Ken Finkelman and said, can I have the title The Newsroom? And Ken Finkelman said, sure, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Other than that, it had nothing to do with it. And yeah, but apparently he was decent about it and went and asked him. Because he's like, right. It's important to me that this be called The Newsroom because of the show we're doing.
Right.
Yeah, I really like The Newsroom. I know it didn't have a lot of fans. I thought it was his best work since The West Wing.
Never watched it.
I know. So, a lot of people didn't. A lot of people thought it was pretentious. A lot of people thought it was too inside baseball. What do you call it? Another Studio 60 inside baseball kind of thing. I thought it was a great show. That was my feelings on the subject. Although I got to say, best television work. Obviously, I think Steve Jobs is his best work since then, which is an infinitely rewatchable movie. Let me guess. You haven't
moving
seen
Steve. Moving right
along. Just for the record, you haven't seen Steve Jobs either, have you?
No.
Oh my God, woman. All right, moving on. Just move on. I'm not even gonna get into this. Just move on. You're right.
Black Christmas, 1974.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah, all right.
Inventor of the modern slasher film, Black Christmas, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's great. I love Black Christmas. It's so creepy and it's so weird and you can tell that they haven't really figured out how to make a slasher movie yet because it takes place over a longer amount of time and there is a police investigation and just a whole lot of subplots.
Did you know this? The film was inspired by a slew of murders at Christmas time that were happening in Quebec.
I didn't know that. That's
I
amazing.
Didn't know that.
How have I never heard that before?
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Huh.
A Quebecois serial killer.
Interesting.
I mean, those do happen, but not enough that it's, you know, makes the news a lot. That's great.
Anyway, yeah, okay. All right, next on our list is Jack Brooks' Monster Slayer.
Still haven't seen it.
Yeah, I got nothing to contribute because I don't know anything about this movie.
No, and it's kind of sad because I knew someone who worked with the producers of that for a while, and they were like, yeah, it's okay. And I'm like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem great to me. So he's a plumber who kills monsters.
Yes.
He's just trying to be Evil Dead, the, you know, a ridiculous ripoff of Evil Dead. And they'd be like, yeah, but Robert Englund's in it. I'm like, yeah, I like Robert Englund, but you know, he was in the Mangler too. You know, it's not like Robert Englund's name promises quality. He's a good actor who never phones it in, but it doesn't mean it's going to be a good movie. It'd be like saying, but Robert Davi's in the movie. Well, yeah, I like Robert Davi, but makes a lot of garbage. I know Robert Davi is a very random person to go to. There's literally 800 people I could have gone to.
Weird that you went. I guess it was the Robert connection.
Exactly. I think that's how my mind got there. Because it's not like I planned that out. It just happened. Right, but yeah, it's not something that ever appealed to me. Although then again, like, weirdly, it's one of those things that's a gap in our knowledge where it feels like we should have seen it, but for some reason we just haven't yet. So yeah, we might fill that one in. For example, I still haven't seen, we're now 2 years into there being an Evil Dead TV show. I haven't seen one episode of it.
Yeah, me neither.
Like, how is that happening?
Because you got other things to do.
We're very busy people. That's true. But I'm just saying, we do a weekly podcast about horror. It seems strange this hasn't come up before now. Like, this is the first time we've mentioned the Evil Dead TV show. It's very weird.
I guess it just shows that we're simply not that interested in it.
No, I guess you're right. I mean, I
Right?
think the Evil Dead remake really killed a lot of our interest in that franchise. And I know
Yeah, it burned up a lot of
it
goodwill,
did. And
so.
I mean, bringing Bruce Campbell's back and everybody's back. And it's, you know, apparently I found out recently Ted Raimi played Henrietta for some reason. I'm like, I don't understand how. I guess there's time travel on the show again, which is a time travel franchise as well. So yeah, that makes sense. But it's weird that they would go back to Henrietta. But you know what? Ted Raimi was on it, so that's cool. I love Ted Raimi. So yeah, I'm just saying, Evil Dead the series is a conversation we're gonna have to have at some point, but it's weird that we haven't had it yet. All right, moving on. Or was that the last item?
Oh no, there are two
Okay,
more.
go.
Cube.
Oh, of course. How did I not know?
So.
Like, yeah, how did I not know Cube was gonna be on this list? That's crazy that that wasn't my first guess, because I think of it as sci-fi more than horror, but of course it's horror.
Yeah.
100% that's
Also,
horror.
I didn't know that this was the first successful film released by the Canadian Film Centre. Doesn't say a lot for the Canadian Film Centre.
In their defense, it was one of their earliest film. Like they hadn't been doing the Canadian Film Center program for that long when Cube happened. It was a relatively new thing.
And what have they done since?
Nothing. They've done nothing. Well, no. And I mean, the problem with the Canadian Film Center is they only give you like whatever the winning film is that comes out of the development slate, you only get like $250,000 to make it. Well, guess what? You know, Cube lucked into the most brilliant idea ever for what to do with that $250,000. And that is hire Julian Richings. Okay, that's not accurate. I just wanted to compliment Julian Richings, the best guy in the world. Oh no, and speaking of, by the way, I talked to someone last weekend who went to the Toronto Supernatural Con.
There's a Supernatural
There's a
Con.
Supernatural Con.
What
There's not
did I
just
not
one,
know
there's not
about
just one
that?
or two. There are a lot of Supernatural Cons.
I feel like I should have known that there was a Supernatural Con happening in Toronto.
Yeah. Anyway, so she talked about, she was telling me how great it was and blah, 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 blah. And then so she was going through all the things she saw and what a great experience it was. But then she said, and I couldn't have predicted this, like this couldn't have gone better. She was just like, but by far the best person that I met was Julian Richings. I'm like,
Yeah.
yeah. Okay. Though she, of course, referred to him as Death because she did not remember his name the way we always do. But and I'm like, yeah, of course Julian Richings was the best. He's the best.
Yes,
He's
yeah.
such a cool, he's just a great guy. And like both of us have met him, and both of us came away being like, wow, what a great guy.
Yeah.
And that I don't know that that's ever happened with a celebrity before. So yeah, no, Julian Richings is amazing. But yeah, no, and he's only in the movie Cube for 8 seconds. But it's the best 8 seconds of the movie Cube. And no, seriously though, I do love Cube. I mean, maybe I'm forced to by being a Canadian horror person. Like maybe we just have to love Cube, but I really do think it's worth treasuring. Cube's amazing.
Right, last
All right,
one.
hit
Oh
me.
wait, this is like
Controversy a bit.
this is a terrible way to end this list. It might be a little
Okay.
controversial because I don't think it's Canadian.
Oh.
Dawn of the Dead 2004.
No! It's an American company remaking an American movie with an American writer and an American director and an almost entirely American cast. The fact that what Sarah Paully and
Sarah
Justin
Pauly.
Lewis are in it doesn't make it a Canadian film.
Yeah.
Jesus. That's oh my, that doesn't qualify at all.
No, I mean, it was shot in
Yeah,
Mississauga. I'm
so
pretty sure it was Mississauga.
do
Big
you know what
deal. Like, how many movies are shot in Toronto? But they're not Canadian
No,
films.
and but the weird part is, do you know what could make a
You can't look at
closer.
Lucas tax credit for American
Well, no, and
productions.
that's ridiculous. Do you know what could make a much stronger argument for being a Canadian horror movie? All of George Romero's new Dead films.
Yeah.
All filmed in Canada, all with almost entirely Canadian casts. You know, and it's like he set up shop in Toronto and he loved Toronto and he moved to Toronto half of the year. And it's like those can make a stronger argument for being Canadian films. I still would say, well, he's an American director and it's international money, but at least they were fully produced by Canadians in Canada, except for him. Also, I'm in one of them, so there you go. Like,
so in the comment section here, it's like, you know, the list closes out with, you know, what do you think should have been included? So someone suggested Smash Cut.
Which one is Smash Cut? I mean, we've seen it. I'm not connecting the title to.
I think, is it like, he's like a porn director and he ends up making, he's like killing his porn stars?
It's very embarrassing because I've actually worked for the people who made the movie Smash Cut.
I think that's what it is.
No, like I know all of the people who made the movie Smash Cut in Ottawa. And I've worked for them, and so I've seen that poster 100,000 times. So it's really embarrassing that I forgot that it was called Smash Cut. Yes, that does, it doesn't belong on a list of best anything, but it is 100% Canadian in ways that a bunch of this list's movies are not.
Yeah. So Hobo with a Shotgun?
Yeah, see, that's a Canadian movie.
My Bloody Valentine.
Super Canadian movie. You're right. How is that not on this list? Uh-huh. Happy Birthday to Me.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Like, wow. This is a terror train. what do you call it?
Changeling?
The Changeling Terror Train. I think Dark Hours is Canadian. Dark Hours is garbage.
Prom Night,
of course. Like, this is crazy wasn't Hell Night? Wasn't that Canadian as well?
I don't think so.
I feel like Hell Night might have been Canadian as well. Really? I could be wrong. I mean,
Stage Fright?
Stage Fright's awesome.
It's just delightful.
Yeah, like, this is a, you know, now that it took us, what, 1 minute to come up with 10 better movies? Like, so we could keep the 5 movies that we liked from that list, add the 10 that we just named, and you've got a much better list than this list.
Yeah, so whoever made this list
doesn't know Canadian.
I think it's a little unclear on what constitutes a Canadian film. I don't know if it's still the Maple system, but at one point there was this system in place to designate whether or not something can be branded as Canadian.
Yeah.
And there were these 5 points that you had to fulfill. Dubbed the Maple system, and some of these movies I know fall well short of that
absolutely.
Mark. So just because it's filmed in Canada, guy,
doesn't make it a Canadian movie.
Yeah,
like James Gunn wrote the Dawn of the Dead remake. You don't get much more Hollywood than James Gunn.
Well, friggin' Zack Snyder directed
exactly.
it.
Like, these are the most Hollywood guys in the world making this movie. Ugh. Anyway, so yeah, frustrating list, people. Frustrating list. Yep. So, are they still making horror movies, or is it just a thing of the past?
No, they're still making horror movies.
That's amazing!
Yeah, so this week's upcoming horror movie is The Strangers 2.
No! No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes! Stuck in development hell for a few years, but it has a release date. 2018.
Oh, screw you.
Would you like to hear more about it?
I mean, obviously, I think if there's one characteristic people have learned about me through the decade we've been doing the AVOD, is that I'm a glutton for punishment. So absolutely, educate me about The Strangers too.
Follows a family whose road trip takes a turn when they arrive at a secluded mobile home park. Well, I'll just call it a trailer park. And after the power goes out, they decide to hunker down for the night in a borrowed trailer. Under the cover of darkness, 3 familiar masked psychopaths pay them a visit to test their very limit.
Oh, screw you. I'm putting my foot down. We are never watching this movie. Never.
Here, let me read to you.
Please.
This is from an interview with the director. We play with a truck a lot in this one. Meaning, I guess, the truck that the strangers drive? I don't know. And that's a lot of fun. It has a slight Christine feel to it. That's kind of cool. You know, the stranger's truck in the first one. That plays quite an iconic role in this. I love the first one. I think it's a super cool movie. It's really smartly put together, and I think Bertino did a really good job of creating a really oddly paced movie. In a good way. You know, people who have played with the whole mask thing since then, they haven't really done that sort of thing, that sort of pacing and set it in a drama or the feel of the first one had. So it's a great opportunity to try something a little different for me. There's a real grounded drama. You really buy into this family and the journey they're going through before everything goes horribly wrong.
Okay. All right. No on every level. No. So much no. All of the no. Just no. We're not watching that movie. Just we're not. That I there's almost I have said yes to almost every single. I think you can go back and check the tapes. I'm not saying we've watched all of them because that would be an obvious lie, but I have been open to watching basically every single upcoming horror movie you've ever pitched for this show. I'm putting my foot down. No. Just flat 100% no. All right.
I'm fine with that because we both hated The Strangers. There's no way that this is going to be any
Oh no,
better.
it's going to be worse. And that was a terrible movie. All right, so that's that. We also watched movies this week. Let's start talking
Yeah.
about them.
All right. So, in our Canada Day high school reunion twofer, our first movie is Cannibal Girls. A couple on a weekend getaway fall victim to the Cannibal Girls.
Although, to be fair, a bunch of other characters do as well.
Yes, this is a weird
Also,
movie.
there's a subplot about the mob?
Is there?
No, not really the mob, but
No, there
there's that whole
isn't.
scene where people get chased around a warehouse.
No, they're just. Okay, so it seems like maybe not everyone in town, but a lot of people in town are colluding with the Cannibal
Yeah.
Girls. And this dude is passing through town looking for his sister who disappeared. And these two guys that he speaks with, I guess, are told to get rid of
Yeah.
him because they don't like him poking around asking
I know, it's
questions.
just that I was jokingly suggesting it was the mob because it's just that the way that whole scene is shot, it is literally like a guy trying to find out and running away from goons in a warehouse. But yeah, you're right, it is connected with the main story. It feels weird. The whole
The whole
scene.
movie feels
That's true.
weird because it's not very
No, it's
good.
not good at all.
Most of this movie, I found out, because I've never seen it before, is a dream sequence.
Yes. That was a
Like
surprise.
70% of what goes on in this
Doesn't
movie
actually happen.
is Andrea Martin's dream.
Yeah, never a promising way to structure a film.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, have you ever been satisfied to find out a scene was a dream? Well, Nightmare on Elm Street, obviously. But that's
Oh,
kind of the whole
please.
point of Nightmare on Elm Street. But they do this whole, it was all a dream, or was it? No, it was a dream. It's just also all that stuff is true. Oh, okay.
I don't understand. I
No,
don't
it's.
stand.
Yeah, because literally they show up in this town and they have car trouble and they go to stay at a creepy inn where the cannibals.
Just a regular
It is
motel,
just a
that's
regular
all.
motel. But it.
And the woman who runs the motel tells them the story of the Cannibal Girls and then suggests they go for dinner at some like house. No, at the house where the Cannibal Girls used to
Yep,
live.
which is now.
But their host is the guy who was like in charge of the Cannibal Girls.
Yes.
And he even calls himself by the same name that the woman called him in the story.
That's true, yes.
So they have this weird dinner, and then what? Oh, then they're forced to kind of stay the night at that house, and then Angie Martin, I guess, is gonna join. She's like hypnotized
Yes.
into killing Eugene Levy, but she doesn't want to do it,
So she runs
and then
off.
she runs off, and then like she wakes up, and it's all a dream. And then they go to dinner at that fucking house where the Cannibal Girls are staying. And she becomes a Cannibal Girl.
Yeah. And
And Eugene was in on it. He like there's like this larger
to
operation
bring girls to
that
become cannibal girls.
yeah. weird.
No, and I mean, I think a lot of this film's problem probably comes from it being made up as they went along. I think it's a situation where I think the story is a bunch of dentists wanted to not pay taxes one year. And so Ivan Reitman was like, is it Ivan Reitman? Yeah, it's Ivan
Reitman,
Reitman
yeah.
was like, hey, give me your $50,000. I'll make a horror movie, and then boom, you won't have to pay taxes on the money you made that year. And that's how Cannibal Girls happened. But he didn't have like a script or really an idea.
No, I think he had an
Anyway,
idea.
yeah, well, you could say he kind of had an idea now that you've seen the film.
Beginnings of an
He
idea.
had the makings of the inklings of an idea.
There's a credit for the dialogue written by
Yep.
X based on conversations had with this other person. It was something really
Ba
weird.
based
It was
on based on melodies
based on
whistled
melodies.
by Garth Marenghi. Yeah.
It
I think we all know what that credit made us think of. But it's like they didn't even know how to credit it. It's like so like someone made up the story for them in like a dinner conversation. Then someone else went and wrote it. And then it's like, yeah, but I
Yeah.
still want to be credited for like everything I said to you over dinner. Okay, well, we'll come up with a credit. It's a weird movie, and it's a movie made by people who weren't putting in the most effort. This is just everybody needed to cash in quickly. They were worried those tax incentives were going to go away, so they just cranked out a movie. Not a very good
Yeah.
movie. You know, it's based on a classic premise. What if there were a bunch of hot ladies in a place that actually wanted to kill you? Turns out that's like 80% of horror, so it's, you know. I mean, historically speaking, that's what sirens are. And, you know, I'm not saying it's an ineffective, sorry, ineffective, ineffective premise. It's just the film doesn't really do anything with it. We never really find out any details about what's going on. We don't know why this town is so into cannibal girls. We don't, like, we're never given any reason to see why any of this matters, except that two characters who are kind of annoying are probably going to get killed. And a lot of characters who are really annoying get killed right away. And because
Yes.
all of the early victims are like so annoying, you cannot wait for them to get cannibal girled. Ugh. I just, yeah, the businessmen and the people going. And then I think the one weird and interesting thing is the guy, it's like, I'm heading to Toronto for a parade. Are you going to parade? No, I manage parades. Like, is that a
Yes. Oh, he's
job?
going to
And
Buttonville.
the character,
It's a parade in
yeah,
Buttonville.
sorry, in Buttonville, yeah. And all the characters are like, is that a real job? And they're like, and he's like, yep. You may not have heard of that job, but I produce parades.
I make parades
Like,
happen. You should come see one of my parades. It's pretty awesome.
okay. Just see.
Other guy's like, it's like, oh, what
I
do you do? I'm rich. That's actually kind of
Oh,
funny.
it is. It is. I mean, I'd be lying if
He's
I
rich.
said that scene wasn't funny, but most of the film. And had they done this as a comedy, which, given that the amount of comedy talent behind and in front of the camera, it seems like making this a comedy would have actually been easier than making it a horror movie and more sensible than making it a horror movie. But I bet the dentists who were picking up the tab didn't think comedies would sell. And they're like, no, horror movies are guaranteed sellout. We want our money back. So,
Yeah, well, they're not
I don't know. I
wrong.
couldn't say they were wrong, but at the same time, I'm like, it's weird that you've got like these titans of Canadian comedy making this horror film that's not very good when they could have just made a comedy that would probably be a beloved cult film now.
Were they Titans at that time? This is
No, and they would
1973.
go on to become titans of Canadian comedy.
Right, so it's a little unfair to
No,
like.
but they were already working in co they were all already working in comedy. Like they were already Second City veterans and comedy veterans. Like they weren't dramatic actors to start with who has stumbled into comedy. Like these Ivan Reitman and all these people knew each other in the Toronto comedy scene. So it's weird that they're like, yeah, let's make a horror movie. But again, it's the dentist's money, so that's the movie they made. Which is
Right.
too bad, because like I said, like I feel like there's that hint in that scene that, you know, this could have been a funny movie. This could have been an interesting movie. This could have been a memorable movie, but it's not any of those things. It's just a bland horror movie that doesn't really make sense. Doesn't really have any gore, doesn't really have any scares, doesn't really have a plot that really, that, you know, resonates or makes any good amount of sense. So, you know, yeah. It's just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
Our capsule review of
Cannibal Girls is just kind of there.
It certainly is a Canadian tax shelter horror movie, but that's all you can really say about it. All right, so let's move on to our second ultra-low-budget movie of the night.
Yeah, our second movie this evening on the reunion theme is Don't Go to the Reunion.
Yeah.
Really good advice.
Such good advice. Oh my God.
So a bunch of high school jerks are invited to a reunion pre-party, and then someone kills them all as payback for something that happened 10 years ago.
Yeah, no, that is the plot of the movie.
Yeah, you ever read a Christopher Pike book?
It's kind of like that, except much less, much worse written. And oh my God, it's rare to see someone failing such basic elements of this kind of horror movie.
Well, here's the thing: the movie starts and like, okay, you know, they had maybe $20 between them to make a movie. Fine, whatever. And I'm like, it's okay. Like, it's not great, but like. They're making an effort.
And hey, they actually had access to a real high school.
They had access to a real high school. There's some good camera work.
Oh, yeah.
Early on in the movie. And then it very quickly falls apart. When you get to the murder house, everything goes downhill.
There's no movie anymore. Like, it's just nothing makes sense after that. And it's all very poorly put together. But what you're saying about the good camera work is right. Is very true, because as I was watching the opening scene set in the high school classroom, I'm like, they're going to an effort to shoot this in an interesting way. And I'm like, we don't have any money, but you know what costs zero money? Interesting camera placement and movement. That doesn't cost any money, as proved by the film The Evil Dead, famously. They didn't have any money, but it's an interestingly shot film. And they seem to be making an effort at the beginning of the movie to film it that way. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'd like to see where this is going. And I'm like, did someone else shoot the rest of the movie? Or did they just stop putting in an effort after the first scene? Because it's weird, right?
I don't have the answer for you, but the movie, yeah, there's a dramatic drop-off in quality, let's say. Yeah,
totally.
When they arrive at the murder house.
Oh, completely. Yeah, the second they get there.
Yeah, it falls victim to... horror movie cliches and conventions, which you find out is like part of the point.
But at the same time, it's only part of the point for the killers. There's no reason for all of the other characters to go along with the horror movie conventions as readily as they do. And it's not like the killers caused all of these people to be, and this is the only term I'm allowed to use for this, insufferable assholes who you hate spending every second with.
I know, and that really bothered me the most, because you're trying to make a movie that's like riffing on a bunch of different horror movies, some of which I guess are maybe a little bit more obscure than not everyone would have necessarily seen or drawn made the connection between the kills in this movie and the kills in those other movies. But I think what would have really helped the movie along is that, you are an insufferable asshole in high school. It's 10 years later. Maybe you've turned a corner. And it would have been a way more interesting movie if all of these people had actually grown up.
But they're literally the exact same characters.
But they're the exact same people. And it's like, all right, well, I don't really give a crap about you. I'm just waiting to watch you die. Yeah,
which is not an emotion you want to have when watching a horror movie.
Yeah.
No, it's just a garbage job. There's no excuse for the film being this inept when it comes to story and character, because the writers have watched a lot of horror movies, and the director and like the people make it, they care about horror movies. They're trying to do Scream, and they're openly trying to do Scream. They don't even hide. They have the characters.
No, they actually say that
they're trying to recreate Scream. The characters say that in the movie. So we're not being jerks here. That's part of the plot. But what gets me about it, right, is as I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, that's all well and good. First off, Scream's a lot better written, but B, these guys are smart enough to know that there's no reason for any of the characters to be there. And they try to have the characters talk about that and give them a reason to stay, but you can't pull it off. Like, the moment you show up and you find out that none of the people you know are responsible for putting the party together.
You turn around and you walk out that door.
You just walk right out. And the thing is, I don't understand how the characters missed this, because literally all they had to do, they planned to kill one of them before she came to the party. All you have to do from a screenplay standpoint is make it look like she planned the party.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. That's not hard.
Yeah.
But they didn't even do that. And the weird part is, why did they not do that when their own script acknowledges that they know they have a script problem? But they just have characters talk about the script problem instead of frigging solving it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that at all. Weirdly, like this last movie, that other reunion movie we recently watched, even that understood it. Because you had someone putting together you had one of the characters in the movie putting together the party, and then one of the guys coming along was in on it. And so he told his partner and planned to turn their planned reunion against them. But if a frigging villain is planning the reunion, like, when I have written a short film parodying the concept, maybe it's a tired concept. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
The reunion short film I wrote for us to figure out at some point. Everyone gets letters from a guy who used to be a nerd that they picked on in high school. It's like a 1 minute short film. A bunch of people get letters from this nerd who they picked on in high school, who's rich now and wants to throw a New Year's Eve party, and they're all like, you going to that? Of course not. I didn't like that nerd. Who cares if he's rich now? He's still an ass. And then you just cut to the guy sitting in his house that he has like made up like a torture chamber full of torture devices, and he's wearing an executioner, and no one showed up for the party.
Oh, so sad.
Like, just a sad guy watching the ball drop and eating a TV dinner for one. Sad that he didn't get to do his murder scheme.
Oh my god.
Yeah, no. If we had the money, we would absolutely make that short film tomorrow.
You don't need any money for that. Come on.
No, you don't, except you need kind of a torture room.
Yeah, you just get creative.
All right, well, you know what? You're in town this week. We'll talk about ways to get creative. And if you can convince me it's doable, we'll shoot that one this summer.
It's totally doable. You're getting in your own
way. Okay, well, like I said, you're a producer. Produce it, and I'll shoot it this summer. There you go. All right, but anyway, we're not here to talk about our film projects, although that's way more interesting
than Don't Go to the Reunion.
Although, I will say, the guys who wrote it have solid horror fan chops. Because when they're listing all of the various horror movie influences on their plan, one of the things that gets name-dropped is Killer Party.
Isn't it Murder Party?
Party, I mean.
No, they say Killer Party. I think they mean Murder Party.
Yeah, they mean Murder Party. And I'm like, they mean Murder Party.
So that took me right out of it. I'm like, don't you mean
they
Murder
do,
Party?
Unless there's a film we're not aware of called Killer Party.
Called Killer
which
Party.
Which I'd be
Maybe.
Sad because then they're not cool at all. Because Murder Party is the coolest horror film for people to name check. Because it's like, not only is it a great movie that everyone should watch, but it's the way you say, no, I was a fan of that guy before Green Room.
Right. Because,
so you get to have horror film cred, and you get to be like, oh yeah, that hot indie exploitation film director. Yeah, I knew him before he was cool.
Which makes me cool.
Yeah, makes me cool by the transitive property of coolness. Seriously though, if you haven't seen Murder Party, check out Murder Party. It's great.
But you mentioned a couple other ones that I've never heard of before.
Yeah, well, they mentioned Pieces, which I've been trying to get you to watch for I can't believe you haven't seen it, because it's kind of amazing.
Like Slaughter High?
Slaughter High is the other movie we considered watching for this show. You had two reunion movies. One was this, one was Slaughter High, and I'm like, I've seen Slaughter High already. I want to watch something new.
Okay.
Slaughter High is a weird movie, because apparently it's one of those movies that they like started and they ran out of money and they stopped and they had to restart again with like a different director and cinematographer. So the movie's look changes halfway through and the script takes a weird turn. So where it's like, you know, we got halfway through a movie, we can't just abandon this, but we can't get everybody back. So what the hell do we do? Well, we completely changed the movie. Okay. I guess the first half was a dream.
Is that the one with the guy, like the jester hat?
Yeah, that's it.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. It's a weird movie is the point. Yeah. But yeah, they name check Slaughter High because it's another reunion horror movie. So I get that. But yeah, they name check a bunch of obscure horror movies that impressed me quite a bit. You know, because, you know, a lot of people don't know about all of those. A lot of people haven't seen Bay of Blood, or by its way better title, which it's strange they didn't do a call out of, Twitch of the Death Nerve.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, such a good title. Why don't you, would you ever refer to it as anything but Twitch of the Death Nerve? But yeah, and no, they're obviously horror nerds. They obviously care about horror. And I think the thing that baffles me most about this is they are people who know what makes a bad horror movie, but couldn't stop themselves from making a bad horror movie. I'm going to call that from now on Connery Syndrome.
Connery Syndrome?
Does that, I think, can we call that from now on? Where you're an expert in what makes a bad horror movie, but then when you make one yourself, you can't keep from making your own bad horror movie?
That's pretty mean.
Is it? Okay. I won't call it Connery Syndrome, though. Although you have to admit it is very accurate.
I am refused to weigh in on this. At the risk of sounding like a huge bitch.
Apparently I am less afraid of that, although historically
he's sounding like a huge bitch.
I don't mind it. It happens to me a lot, I'm honest, if I'm being brutally honest.
Because, you know, then Chuck Connie's gonna invite us to a party at his place.
I know! It's gonna turn out to be one of those murder parties.
An elaborate plot to kill us. And we would have deserved it.
No, 100%. If we called it that and continued referring to it that, we would have that coming. We would be the jerks from the horror movie who people would hope would die quickly. I'm not going to deny that at all. All right. I think that's that. I think Don't Go to the Reunion doesn't need to be watched. But I do always want to doff my cap to horror film fans who just said screw it and made their own horror movie. Yeah,
that's fine. And like as you said, there are a couple of good moments. There's some good camera work at the start. They're filming in a real high school. There's a good kill with the guy who gets his head chopped
that's
off.
Fun.
That was well,
it's well executed. I mean, again, as they point out, it's just straight out of Mad Men, another movie you amazingly haven't seen. But yeah, it's a well done effect. It's the only well done effect in the movie, but there is a well done effect in the movie, unlike other movies we could name, but won't because of a conversation we just had 1 second ago.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. No, it's like, it's not, they don't have to be ashamed of themselves for this one. It's just, it's not good, but you know, they put in the effort, they made a movie. Respect, you know, 100%. All right, so, although I did have a lot of flashbacks to Harvest of Fear. Just any time I see people who should leave and the script recognizes they should leave, but they try to come up with a reason they're not leaving anyway, I'm always going to go to Harvest of Fear first.
Yeah,
the greatest example of that ever. All right, so that's that. Do you have any narcissism you would like to watch?
I guess I'll mention again that I have another podcast that I do with Rude Awakening, in which we talk about terrible romance novels. There's a link for it on the sidebar on the blog. So I invite you to click over to C&D and listen to us talk trash about trashy novels.
Okay. Also, remember, we have a video game up.
Yes, we do. There's also a link to that. So click the link and play a video game.
Drop by itch.io. You can play it right in the browser or you can download it. If you want to download it, it takes you to a suggested donation page. You don't have to donate anything. We don't care. We just want you to play, take the job. It's just the donation page is how this thing is set up. And we're not going to tell you not to donate to the production of Don't run away. But at the same time, we don't care. I'm fine paying for the whole game myself. It's going to be wonderful. That's all I'll say about that. And if you want to know how wonderful it's going to be, just check out Take the Job, which is a great primer.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess that's that. Also check out Vargelon.com and the Hidden Object Guru YouTube page for constant stuff. We just hit 420 subscribers, a number nice. That I wanted to mention for obvious reasons. Because I'm an H.P. Lovecraft fan. Boom!
Not because you're a huge stoner.
That's my big shout out to H.P. Lovecraft. 420 H.P. Lovecraft.
Wow. Most people will go the other way. Or a much more dark and disturbing way. Oh, God, I hope not.
All right.
If you went to that awful place, you can fuck right off.
Excellent work.
Thank you. Visit the AVODs blog at theavod.com. You can leave us a comment down there. Let us know what you thought about your high school reunion. You can send us an email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
I encourage you to do all of those things. So until next time, I've been Count Vargelon.
I've been DM.
Have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.